Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you by the NBA Store. A new year brings the start of a new NBA season. Suit up with the latest gear to show your support for your team. We may be sidelined from going to the arena, but that doesn't mean you can't watch basketball from your couch in style. We're teaming up with the NBA and Podgo to bring our listeners up to 75% off on selected items. Yes, you heard that right. Go to podgo.co/NBA. for up to 75% off selected items from the NBA store. The NBA, where amazing happens.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episodic podcasting adventure. It's Doc.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episodic adventure. This is Des Mino, and I am your co-host here. And half of Talkamania, J-Bomb, say hello. He's got a nice smile on his face. Give me some sugar.
You said it differently. Did you almost fuck yourself up
because
you
said it differently? No, I'm just in a good mood today.
Wow. Yeah. I couldn't do the pre-read, so I thought I jinxed us.
No, I'm good. I brought us back on the rails. But yes, NBA, good stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
NBA Podgo. Guys, go check it out. 75% off on selected items. Podgo.co/NBA, baby.
Good shit, good shit. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. This is yet another episodic adventure. I'm glad to be here, man. I have 1 week left on my vacation. I was telling J-Bomb before we went.
Sucker.
Yep, starting to set in. I had 6 weeks off. Went by so fast. And I'm headed back to work in just one more week. So, you know, I'm going to make the best of it, but I'm happy to be here. Another episode of Talkamania. We can talk about some wrestling. We can talk about what's going on in our lives and all that shit. How's it going over there, J-Bomb? What you been up to, man?
Doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, blood tests tomorrow. Work is fucking crazy. The stock market is great.
It is. It's been good. It's been good.
Yeah.
It's been good.
How many weeks of vacation do you have banked still?
Three more weeks banked when I left. Ooh, so I guess maybe like 3 weeks in a day or 2 days now. I'm not sure. But I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might hold on to them to the summer. Once everything cools down and all that shit too, I know I'm going to want to potentially go out with the full press boys. Or I got to go to Japan. I think I'm long overdue. My daughter's grandmother has not seen her. But I think, you know, we're going to wait probably until 2022 for that one. But at the same time, if I'm going to go there, I want to make sure I have at least a month available. So I might just hold on to that for the time being. We'll see what happens, man. We'll see.
Yeah, then you need 2 weeks when you get home.
I think last time I gave myself like half a week or something like that.
No. Like if there's still like travel
for quarantine. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
They'll just make me work an additional like 14 days from home. But I don't even know when I'm going to go back to work, to be honest. And now I'm hearing Canada's behind in the whole vaccination schedule. So
no shit.
Well, yeah, I know. So we might not be getting vaccinated until the end of the year. We'll see what happens, and I don't know when I'm going back to work and all that shit and what the new norm's going to be anyways, because my company's starting to see, like, shit, working from home can work. It saves them, like, office space, resources, all the in-office stuff. Costs them a lot of money to get us out of office. It's going to cost a lot to bring us back into office. So I think there might be a world where, like, I'm doing half and half or I'm working from home. Or, yes and no. I mean, I like to get out of the house, I think. It's getting to be a bit
Yeah, but that's a perfect balance if you don't have to be there every day.
That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So before we get into stocks, you mentioned that you went to get a blood test today. Now, is this the blood test that is tied to if you're off drinking probation?
That blood test is tomorrow morning. But yes, that's the one where theoretically I could drink after tomorrow. But I promised myself I would go till March 1st. So I'm adding another week. So the next time I drink will be March 3rd. I can't believe I'm planning. when I'm going to indulge in alcohol. March 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Cool. And I know, J-Bomb, you were chatting earlier. I think we may be pushing Trivomania. That way, the Boozerweight can participate as long as all goes well with his test results. That's going to be a lot of fun. So look for that early March. Chris Cass is going to be defending his championship. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. And I also was sitting on How I Met Your Mother because I wanted you to get nice and sauce for that one as well, too. So maybe
I have to be drunk.
Maybe we'll do that one in March as well. I might have time now over the next week to kind of finalize that shit. So we just got to get our contestants, man. People who are willing to be on it. I know Rucker's wife was saying that she really knows her shit, but is also weary because Talkamania may slander her reputation for the rest of her life. But maybe we'll play nice. Either way, we can find some peeps.
I'm not worried. She did an episode. I can't talk. 1 second. She did an episode of 80 Proof, and I mean, we talked about some pretty foul shit. So if she can get through that, she can definitely sit through a How I Met Your Mother Trivomania episode.
Ooh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Yeah. What else have I been up to? Dude, monumentous day in my house.
Uh-oh.
I got a new vacuum today.
Oh, what'd you get?
And I know this is like such non-news, but dude, I had been using a vacuum that my dad, you know, he has passed since, so God bless his soul. He passed on to me a few items. One was his car, which is now scrapped. It was very hard for me to let go. And one other item was this vacuum cleaner that he'd given me that he picked up at like a garage sale or something. And this thing is like the Cadillac big clunkosauruses of vacuums, but it did the job. But super heavy and annoying to move around. So my wife has been asking, talking about it for like about a year and a half now. And we've always been looking at Dysons, but they're so expensive. So essentially,
worth it.
So essentially, yeah. But essentially, we ended up finding like the best comparable vacuum to a Dyson for ratings versus price. And then also on Amazon, it had like a $40 coupon at that day. So we ended up picking it up. So super lightweight, really, really strong. I don't remember the name of it, but
That's so anticlimactic.
Who cares? I don't know the name of it. I don't care that much about naming the vacuum. I just think it was pretty cool that I upgraded. And this thing's nuts. You can actually increase like the power of it by like touching a touch screen. Like you swipe your finger up and down on it. It's like,
really?
Yeah. Like I'm used to,
is it wireless?
Like, carrying a big cord around and stepping on clunky. Oh, it's just.
Is it a cordless one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's the dream, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. And it has all these attachments that you can, like, go into the couch, reach. It goes everywhere we need it to be. So we're pretty excited about that. That's how we are when we get old. You get excited about little things like getting a new vacuum. So
yeah, I see. You got a new vacuum. You got a new pair of glasses.
Got a new pair of glasses. I got my – that's two things I said I would do this year is go to the dentist, get my eyes done. Well, one of the two's done, the least scary of the two. I got my eyes done. I got my prescription renewed. I had glasses before. But now they were so outdated and they weren't really great quality. These are top notch, really good, really helpful. Even a little bit of blue tint. So for like gaming and screens and stuff helps my eyes out. Great, great place. They took good care of me. And here I am, man.
How blind are you? What's your prescription?
I don't know. I don't know. I know it's another information I don't have for you, but I don't know, man. Like 20, honestly, they told me I had like 20/25 or something like that, which was weird because one of my eyes is, I have astigmatism or something.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. Like I thought, I don't know the number system because I went in there and my eyes aren't what they used to. But when they gave me the measurements, they're like, or they gave me the what my grading was, it was like 20/25. And I'm like, that sounds good. And I know my vision's not good.
I think I don't know what that means, but I think 20/20 is good. As the higher the number, the worse, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you need like a +5. Maybe it's like a 2.5. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Sure. Like, honestly,
I'm blind.
I got my glasses last time. I wore them like a few times. Never really stuck to it. These make such a big difference. I went outside in the snow. Everything was so crisp and bright outside. I'm just
like, you see like every flake,
oh,
dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, you sit there and me, I was just like, my vision's okay. And then you go do the exam and they're like, this is how you could see. And you're like, what? Holy shit. Like, I didn't know my eyes were that bad. So, yeah, good shit, man.
It's crazy when you go to this, when you go to pick them up and you put them on for the first time and you walk out, you're like, whoa. You feel exposed because you see everything so well. And you're like, people could see me like this. This is how the rest of the world sees.
I'd take them off because it was just like too new and it was just too crisp while I was driving. So I'm like, fuck it. Put my sunglasses on instead. That was good shit.
Hey. Yeah, it's like, I think I went through three TVs. Thinking that I needed a new TV because they were all shit. And then I changed glasses and I was like, oh, That was the problem. Couldn't see.
I went to also a place in the mall to get my first pair of glasses. They were decent, but it's like, you know, it's not going to be top quality. So I'm pretty sure, like, I felt like they were like, this is how you're going to see. Then they gave me the glasses, and I was like, that doesn't seem as good as what I saw in the mall. So these guys were good. Good service. So I'm very happy with that. Next is the dentist. I'm a little bit more scared about. I think I'll be fine. My teeth are pretty good, but it's been a while. So
I went to the dentist this
week. Still going to the same one?
Hell yeah, man. You're not going to the same one anymore?
That is still my dentist, but I just have not gone in so long.
So just go.
Yeah. Is it still the same cleaner girl?
Yeah, she's the best.
She's still attractive at her age?
She's over 50 and she's still looking good. Yeah. And it's the weirdest experience because when you go, you take off your mask and it's like an alternate universe.
Whoa.
And they have like all these vacuums around your mouth to keep like, guess all your saliva from going towards them. But no, I went like 3 weeks ago and I had a feeling and it came back. But there's a long story. I have to go see a fucking specialist now.
For what specifically? Because I had to get my wisdom teeth taken out. And that's the last time I went to the dentist was after my teeth got taken out. And that was like several years ago.
No, I don't know what it is. And my dentist freaked me out. Because like, you know, I talked about it last night. But for those who don't listen, I'll say it again. You know, when you go and Google something.
Yeah.
And you realize you're like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die.
Right.
Right. And then when you go to the doctor's office, you're like, hey, doc, I Googled this. And he's like, dude, you're fine. Don't worry about it. You're being crazy.
Stop searching shit.
Yeah. Well, I did that. And the dentist was like, oh, yeah, you got to go see a specialist. And I was like, but why? He's like, yeah, it could be something really serious. So I was like, oh, shit. So I have this like bulge underneath one of my teeth and it's making my tooth somewhat loose. And it's like a bump in my mouth. And he's like, I don't think it's an infection. So he's like, it's either already destroyed some bone and you need surgery, or potentially the worst thing. He's like, it could be fucking mouth cancer.
Well, that's obviously not the news you want to hear when you go to the dentist.
No. I was like, what the fuck are you
doing? Mind you, you had blood tests. You did your annual exam. I think they would have found an elevated white blood cell count if that was the case. So
I don't know. I think mouth cancer is totally different. It's super beatable.
So
it's super, super beatable.
It does sound like one that's more beatable. You know what it could be? And it's very interesting. My wife, when she was a kid, her mom believed in like natural medicine, didn't send her to doctors, all kinds of stuff like that. One being the dentist. And she has fine teeth, but she had something similar to what you're describing, like a bump in her teeth, like a bulge or something. So her mother put it off for a long time. And then in the end, she actually had to have like several, like maybe four of her back teeth removed. So she's actually doesn't have those teeth in her back. So
listen,
like,
if they tell me I got to get some teeth removed, I'm down.
That's
but
the
it's
worst
like,
case
it's...
scenario. And she put it off. And she
I
put it off
that
too.
Win.
So I don't know how long you've had that for.
6 weeks.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But like it's getting worse. But like there's a big bump. The tooth feels loose. And then like he's like, ooh. I'm like, is it an abscess? He's like, no. I'm like, is it an infection? He's like, no. I'm like, well, what the fuck is it, man? He's like, yeah, you got to go see a guy. And like, he immediately called the guy and was like, I'm sending this guy to you. They called me today. I already have a scheduled appointment. And she's like, I can't see you before the 15th of March, but I'm putting you as the highest priority. So if somebody cancels, you'll get in. And I'm like, motherfucker. I'm like, did the doctor
look at his... Do you notice
it
getting larger quicker or not?
No, because it's like... It just felt like a burn in my mouth.
Mm.
It's on my gum line on the inside, but like, don't Google it. It's scary.
Nothing to like, treat it in the meantime? You can't like suppress it?
Well, no, because the guy's like, I can give you antibiotics, but he's like, I really want the specialist to see this.
Okay.
So they're going to do like a CT scan on the tooth and like a 360 thing. And he was pretty much like, I would be surprised if you don't need surgery. So I was like, fuck.
Yeah, well, at least it's that instead of like something else on you, you know, like.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, you got dealt a shitty hand, but less shitty than it could be, I guess.
I just hope it's anything but fucking mouth cancer, because I swear to God, if I have to have part of my mouth removed, that's over, man. What are you going to do at that point? You're going to walk around everywhere? You got to I wear a mask for the rest of my life. I would. I buy a Lucha mask.
You'd be permanent sloopy.
Yeah, I'd be like, hello, guy. Not that there's anything wrong with people that are missing portions of their mouth, but I'm used to not missing a portion of my mouth.
And having to get used to that? Jesus. Especially when we're doing podcasts and stuff.
Oh, it'd be the end of the podcasting career. 100%. If I was like, talking like this, there's no way I would do that. No, but it's in the back of my mind, but it is what it is. I've been kind of freaking out for the last 2 weeks. Because like when I went the first time, she was like, oh, it's nothing to worry about. And I'm like, nah, I don't know about that. And then I knew this appointment was coming up for the filling, so I didn't book another one in between. And as soon as he saw it, he was like, ooh. He's like, yeah, you got to go see someone.
I think I'm going to probably reach out and try to contact them. I know they're a little bit away, but I do like the love and, you know, care that this office had. The funny story is why I stopped going was I was supposed to have an appointment. And they have a policy where if you don't cancel within 24 hours, you got to pay for your appointment. Something like that. And I'd actually been laid off like the day before my appointment. So when I contacted them and I said, I can't come tomorrow. They're like, well, this is less than 24 hours. And I said, right. But I just lost my insurance because I just got let go. And they're like, oh, okay. Okay. Well, we're canceling your appointment. Bye. And they canceled it. So I don't know if I still owe that money or if I do owe that or if they kind of threw me a mulligan and were like, oh, shit, man, sucks. You lost your job. Don't worry about it. And if I go back, they're going to be like, you owe us monies.
I don't think so. I think they would have collected. How long ago was it?
Well, like 7 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe. Like,
I'm pretty sure you're fine, bud. Don't worry about it. Yo, I went in there and I forgot my fucking wallet. And the girl was like, just go home and call me.
They're going to be like, you've been flagged. You're in the system. You've been flagged, Mr. Morneau.
You got to walk in there and be like, deny you. They're like, yo, they take your temperature and shit when you go in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Even my glasses. Yeah. They took my temperature. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. Well, they don't COVID. Want sick people going inside and causing sicknesses and all that sure. jazz, I guess. So.
I guess. You want to talk about the stock market?
Do it. Let's do it. All so right. J-Bomb and I have been getting more into stocks. We've been texting each other, giving each other tips, advice. Dude, it's been fun. And well, yeah. When I went on vacation, my wife first day gave me a book that she got offline. And it's like a tax for dummies kind of book. It's similar. It's a very good read. But it's hard for me to read books I can't get into. And especially about numbers and shit like that. So it's kind of a little bit hard. I probably will read it at some point. But instead, I just fueled my brain with like picking my brother's brain, picking my friend's brains who play in the market, and then watching tons of videos and tutorials and just learning and learning. And fuck, man, you guys were talking on 80 Proof about leveling up, and I feel like I fucking leveled up.
It's crazy.
In terms of like financial understandings.
You look at everything a little bit differently for some reason.
There's so much you can do, and I honestly feel like everybody should take the chance to learn. And you shouldn't just be dependent on a paycheck 9 to 5. There's so much more you can do with it. And you can make your money work for you. Make passive income while you're sleeping. And there are true, tested, and foolproof ways to make this happen. Obviously, nothing's guaranteed in the stock market. But depending on the game you want to go into, you want to play a short game, day trading, gambling. That's one thing. But you can put a bunch of money into something that's a little bit more stable and consistent. Make those dividends. Convert those into reinvested deposits, additional shares, and then your money just makes money for you. So, like, it's really cool to look into these things, learn about.
Is that what you call the drip?
The drip, yeah, direct reinvestment, pretty much.
Oh, it's actually a
direct reinvestment plan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was like, yo, the drip.
Well, it is. It's like your money, basically, so when you buy a share of a company, so for instance, I'll say it straight up. I put $1,300 into Enbridge yesterday, okay?
What's Enbridge?
The third largest company in Canada, and it's all based on energy. So like oil, gas, wind, okay? If you look at them, they've been around for a long time. Canada's going to need energy. We need electricity. It's very reliable. I did my research. It's very, very, if you look, it's one of the best companies right now to put your money into that you can get dividends, okay? And what dividends are is the company will give shares of its, give its profits to its shareholders. So now I will get money from this, from each share that I own. And I own 30. So it'll be 30 shares times whatever their quarterly dividend is. So the whole goal of what you're supposed to be doing here is making enough in dividends per quarter. You want to put enough money into the stock to make enough dividends per quarter to buy you a free share each quarter. And then you get more shares and more shares. And then you're getting more dividends. And then eventually each quarter you'll buy 2 shares. And then eventually you'll buy 3 shares. And the stock's going to go up. Even if it stays stable, you're making that dividend that's going to be giving you additional income. And then this is basically the point. You put a large money into these stocks, and then you sit on it for 15, 20, 30 years, and you're rolling in it. Your money is making money. And I'm already making money off this. So it's pretty cool.
Did you do this through your TFSA?
Yep, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. TFS.
Smart man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for example, let's say I took my RRSP and threw it into here. Then every quarter, they're going to pay me dividends on each share.
Well, you never take out of your RRSP ever because you can do...
Well, no, I can invest my RRSP.
Yeah, you can invest your RRSP into that as well, too. Yes, mm-hmm. But don't, like, put into a TSF. Don't just...
No.
So what I'm understanding, like, on Questrade, I have my TFSA, I have my RRSP that I'm moving over there, right? And, like, if you have a tax-free savings account in a bank, it sits there, and it makes such a small increase, it just kind of fights inflation and kind of keeps it stable, right? But you can have a tax-free savings account open, which is what I have now. You put $2,000, $3,000, whatever you want to put into it, and then you can have it sit there gaining interest, but you can also apply it to different companies.
Well, yeah, you invest.
Exactly.
It, yeah.
So you're basically investing that money, so it's also making it making money while it's sitting there in your tax-free savings account. And also, anything you put into anything, well, you have a limit you can put into it from, like, actual money on the side, but, like, anything that you make, you're tax-free, man. So it's pretty amazing. So if it's you basically, great. I'm looking at a few companies myself. Enbridge is my number one. I need to put $3,000 into this company, about $3,000, $3,500, depending on what the share price goes up to in the time I can get this done. And then once I get that, I have enough drip to get myself one free share per quarter. And all I have to do is just maintain that. If the stock shoots up, then I got to buy a little bit more to make sure I get that one. But it's pretty reliable, a pretty consistent scale if you look at the graph. So, like, all I got to do is put, like, $3,500 into this, and then I'm going to be getting a free share each quarter, and then it's going to start compounding, and I'll get exponential growth. And then by the end, when I'm, like, in 20 years from now, dude, I'll be fucking loaded off this thing. And the whole point is like, you want to diversify. There's energy stocks, there's banks, there's, you know, different industrial things that you can put your money into. And you don't want to put it all into one thing. Like, I think energy is one of the safer ones. But my plan also is to do Manulife. So Manulife is a super, super cheap drip. $2,000, you got a drip going on that one. I think even less. But the reason I went with Enbridge is because the stock is so low right now, or it's on a lower part, that it's a really beneficial time to buy in on it. Manulife, it's always going to kind of be around the same. So what I'm going to do is once I get my tax return, let's say it's $2,000, boom, $2,000 into Manulife. I already have a drip going immediately with that one as well too. And then when I have my shares, what I'm going to plan on doing with them, I have my company shares, I'm going to take a chunk of that and get a drip going in TD. So TD is such a promising bank. If you look at the climb, it's insane. One of the biggest banks in Canada. It reinvests in itself. It reinvests in its shareholders. And it's opening itself up to international, like, more and more and more. And if you look at it, look at TD. It's fucking crazy how it's going up. And that's about $6,000 to get a drip. Maybe 7 or 8 by the time I get my shares. But that's worth doing. And then if I have a drip going for Enbridge, if I have a drip going for Manulife, and if I have a drip going for TD, fuck, I'm set.
You got a puddle, bro.
And then once I have my kind of roots set in there, then I can start taking money and gambling a little bit more, doing day trading. And then any extra income I have, I can put into these, you know, larger scale dividend companies that I'm with as well too, to increase my growth. So I'm learning a lot about, like, a smarter, longer game as opposed to doing riskier gambles. But I also am enticed by that as well too, man. So it's hard.
Well, that's what's so sexy about the short-term gains, right? They're just, with the tax-free savings account, that's what makes it so appealing. So if you set yourself up for all these long-term investments, once you start pulling dividends and start pulling profits from there, hell yeah, man. Throw that into the smaller ones.
Oh, it's
but
crazy.
Didn't you buy some smaller shit?
I did. So I bought Hive. I bought $250 worth of Hive.
Nice.
I did. That's it. That's all I did. So that one's doing pretty good. Hive's been blowing up. Anything blockchain, crypto related has been doing very healthy right now. It's a little bit of a gamble, a little bit of a volatile market. But Hive, I've been looking at in terms of profit growth. That is actually the highest pretty much right now in terms of... So J-Bomb and I are in on that, which is a very smart move. I am looking at Bitfarm just because it's doing so damn well. I find it very kind of like, dude, I should at least just throw like $100 at it or something, you know, for the hell of it. And then let's say Bitfarm does go up enough where like I can turn that $100 into like $500. Well, then boom, I can pull that off and put it into Enbridge. Pull it out and put it into Manulife. And then get closer towards my drip, or even further down into my drip, making more dividends, you know, making more, you know, income. So it's it's pretty cool to be able to see that. It's been fun, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, the Bitfarm ride has been interesting. Something that I saw early, and then I was like, I don't know. Thinking about making a move. Then I'm like, fuck it. So I dumped some cash into that. That one had a great day today. Hive is all right. If Hive can do what Riot did, that'd be fine.
I think it is. I think Hive looks like it's going to do more like Riot does, and I feel like Bitfarm's going to peak and then go down, and then go peak and then go down. So I feel like Bit is like one where you got to sell at the right moment.
But Bitfarm's supposed to go to American. Right now it's on the TSX.
And is that going to increase the value on TSX, or would you have to switch over to an American market?
No, it'll just increase the fuck out of the company in general.
Because, yeah, so they just made a purchase too, so like, that's why I'm looking towards them. Like, if you look at the news at Bitfarm, they've done some promising things where it's like, I feel like I might as well just throw some cash on it. But I don't want to rely too much on crypto. Like, we've talked about that before. You know, having...
Yeah, but it's so fun.
Having Bitcoin, it's having so Ether. Fun. Like, this is currency that isn't even currency. It's kind of like money that's not money, but it's money.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. you know what I also did? I threw $200 on Doge as well.
Where's it at right now?
Just for shits and giggles. It did bad, and now it's kind of evening out. But, dude, it cost me nothing.
Well, it's up 12%. What'd you buy it at?
0.7, I think, or something like that.
0.07?
Yeah, and you know what, dude? Okay, so I have 2,500 shares. So imagine...
Yeah, it's Doge.
here's the thing. I don't mind losing $200 if, like, Dogecoin sometime picks up to, like, $20, $40, $50, you know, there's money. That's a decent amount of money, you know? So
it's a shitload of money.
Yeah. So it's like, I figured, fuck it. You know, let's just buy some and throw $200 into it and not think about it. And now I could just sit back and wait 10 years or whatever it is. And maybe I'll lose $200, but maybe I'll gain more.
I feel like okay. So I don't have any like coin purses or wallets, whatever you call it. Like, so I'm just working with Wealthsimple, but Dogecoin's one of those things where it's like, if you're into other cryptos, you kind of just want to be like, for shits and giggles, just for the fun of it, you're like, yeah, I also own like $250 of Doge.
That's kind of it.
Just in case, you know?
Yeah. And but I use
Bitcoin
Coinsquare
ETF
now.
Came out this morning.
What's that?
The Bitcoin ETF in Canada was released this morning.
Really? How much is it a share?
It's $10 a share.
Interesting.
So that's, you can buy that through your TFSA. That's what's interesting about it. So you could buy Bitcoin through your TFSA now. So you have to pay tax.
ETFs are a bit iffy because, like, I feel like with cryptocurrency, let's say all of a sudden, like, the whole industry plummets, right? You're putting all your eggs into the basket of cryptocurrency. That thing is going to take a nosedive.
So yes, but it, like, it, well, it's directly in relation to Bitcoin. It's a Bitcoin ETF, not a crypto ETF.
You know what the symbol is for it?
It's a BTCC. There's an American and a Canadian version. It's going to be expensive for a little while at $10,
BTCC,
but it should.
I don't see it.
BTCC, BT.
Oh,
yeah, BTCC.
B. Or dot B or dot U. There's dot B and dot,
dot B. B. B is, U is American. But the things I like about ETFs is like, it doesn't, you're not putting all your money into one crypto, right? You'd be putting your money into how they all
perform. ETFs are fantastic. I was looking at that as well too, because you can create dividends with those as well. So what I want to set up for my daughter, so the Canadian government does something where, like, if they'll match you 20% of anything you put in for the year, right? So all you're going to want to put in up to $500 a year. So you're going to want to put in $2,500 a year max, and you'll get your $500 from the government. So you'll do that every year. And they'll keep paying you up until, like, $7,200. And you can put up to $50,000 to get that 20% on. So anyways, that being said, you could also invest it. So you open up an RESP in Questrade, which I'm doing now. So I'm going to have my RESP that I'm going to be putting my $2,500 in a year. The government's going to be giving me $500 into that account every year. And then I can take that money that I'm investing. And what my plan is to invest it into XIU, which is basically the biggest Canadian ETF. The biggest 250 Canadian companies are part of this. So, like, I was talking...
S&P, right?
XIU.
Yeah.
So what I was talking about, basically, TD, Manulife, Enbridge, all these companies are in their package.
Yeah.
So it's, if you look at the line, very, very stable, and it's moving up, right? So, like, I think I'm going to invest just all of her RESP into this.
Yeah, why not, right? Yeah. And then, it's stable, and you get your 8% a year or whatever, and you're good
and
to go.
Then when you get your, you get about $6,000, $7,000, then you get a drip on it. So you're going to be getting a drip on your... You got to drip on your EFT as well, investment. So it's pretty
cool.
You're
going to be dripping, bro. You're going to be dripping. You're doing it absolutely the right way.
I honestly, like, I'm looking at this and, like, I love gambling and I'm looking at things and, like, oh, I'm sure this is going to jump up. And I think I want to put money on the side to play with a little bit, but I also want to, like, invest and be, like, set when I'm older. And it's laid out in a way where, like, as long as you put this much in and you get your drip, it's a guaranteed thing. It just,
well, unless the stock market crashes.
Yeah, that's why you put it into stuff like, well, here's the thing though. Look at TD. Look at Enbridge. You're going to see it crashed in March, right? Last year because of the,
but it's still not that bad.
But then it recovers it comes back. You know what you do when it crashes? Buy more stocks. Exactly. You buy low. Cuz look at these things. Enbridge, it's never going to go anywhere because it's the biggest energy company in Canada. People are going to need electricity, need hydro. So just hold on to it. And then when it drops down that high, buy more. And it's going to make your drip higher when it starts going back up.
That's the advantage we have at our age. Like, yeah, okay, we're somewhat late to the game being 35.
We're very late to the game, I find.
But not even, dude. We still have 30 years of investment before it really, really matters. Like, when you're 60 and it's retirement time, or 55 even, and you want to start looking, that's not far away, dude. That's 20 years. Like, think about 20 years ago. I remember what I, like, did. I remember the clothes I wore. It's not that far away.
Yeah. And I guess I also didn't have the money to throw into it at the time, too. Like, now I'm just finding, like, I'm with my wife now. We have a dual income. I've shared from my company. I'm being a bit better with my money. I paid off my debt, a lot of my debts. So, like, now I have money to throw there. And, like, you know, drips and, like, dividends sound like, well, why wouldn't everybody do it? Well, first of all, a lot of people are doing it. I find they don't teach money in school, probably because they don't want us to have money and be successful.
No, but they do, though. But if everybody had money, all the stocks would be higher, motherfucker, yeah, so it's fine.
Yeah, I guess. But it also takes a lot of money to create dividends into drips and stuff. So it's like you literally, instead of being like, I'm going to put $600 in this, I'm going to put $500 in this, I would take that $1,100 and put it into like Enbridge and build towards that drip, you know? Like,
do you have RRSPs or not?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have one. Yeah. I have one account set up. I have two accounts set up, but I only contribute to one. The other one is an RSP Plus. It's called Fonds Quebec or something. And what they'll give you an extra 15% or something. Yeah. If you hit 5,000. So if you contribute 5,000, they'll give you like $3,000 back and you're saving that 5,000. So I think next year I might just put 5,000 into it to get the income if I can manage that much. I have a lot of goals now, financial goals this year. So I only have so much money and I want to make sure that I can just throw as much into each big stock to get the drip, then move to the next one. So Enbridge is what I'm focusing on. I have 1,300 into it. I might throw another 400 into it, I'm thinking. Then I'm getting closer to $2,000, only that one more $1,000, then I get a drip. So, like, I'm going to get there. And then Manulife's really easy. It's about a $2,000 drip. And then when I get my shares from Keywords, I'm just going to do a TD drip for, like, $6,000. And then I got three steady, like, companies. And I'm diversity in my companies. I got insurance, I got energy, and then I got the banking. So it's like, pretty good.
Fuck, I could do that. I can go to my RRSP right now and do that. I want to do that.
If you have the funny thing is, if you have your RRSP sitting and it's not tied to any investment, then you're not making money off of it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I have it like in a really low risk mutual fund. It's garbage. I probably make like 1.5% a year, which is trash. But I'd love to like take half of it and do this with it.
If you're gonna, I would say with RRSP, it might be smarter to do ETFs and like because it's a lot more safer because it's a lot more companies and it kind of evens itself out. I mean, these are pretty good to go with, but I think like...
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
What you're
saying. But like, again, XIU, that's what I would XIU do. Super safe. If you can put $6,000 of your RSP or $7,000 of your RSP into XIU, you'll get a drip, Jay.
Yeah, look at Vanguard, S&P.
Yeah, I know. Vanguard's decent as well, too.
But it's U.S. There's got
to
be a...
I'm weary when it comes to U.S. markets, and I'm only going to use my RSP for it. Because your RRSP, you won't be charged U.S. holding fees. In your tax-free savings account, you will.
Yeah, but you might get taxed American shit when you pull it out, no?
I don't know. I'd have to look more into that. But at the same time, sure when you are going to pull it out, you're going to be at a lower income. So you're going to pay a lot less on taxes. So that's good as well, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got to take our first break because we're like halfway through the episode and we haven't done fuck all. So, okay, we'll take it. We'll come back and then we'll see where we go with this. So we'll be right back on episode 1 million of Talking Mania.
treatment has been paid for by Boot to the Face.
What's up, Talkamaniacs? Do you enjoy quality wrestling talk? Raw, AEW, NXT, SmackDown, and pay-per-view prediction and review shows mixed with a lot of whiskey and a whole lot of profanity? Are you tired of the smarky podcast and you just want to hear fans talk about wrestling that don't want to take it too seriously? Then come find us at Boot to the Face on Spreaker, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. We're Santana Garrett's favorite podcast. That's Boot to the Face with the number 2, as in sweet.
I think it's episode 187. If you guys are listening in the car, take a look at your console. If it's not 187, oh well. We're on the path to 200.
You said a million, so I wrote down a million, but...
Episode 1 million. That's going to be our bank accounts in 30 years.
I hope so, man. Honestly.
I hope it's bigger than a million. In 30 years, a million ain't going to be a million.
I don't even care, though. Like, if I retire with, like, $700,000, like, I'm okay with that, man. Like, that's fine. And here's the thing, right?
It's going to go quick, man. That's going to go really fast.
I don't live too lavishly. But here's also the thing, right? Like, let's say we're still going stocks, right? I mean, people are probably like, what the fuck is with Talkamania? We're talking.
Bro.
We're talking.
This Talkamania is evolving, okay? It's a wrestling podcast, but it's fucking Jay and Dez. Fuck this.
Yeah, yeah. Let's say I have Enbridge. Let's say I have TD. Let's say I have Manulife, okay? I got my dividends. They're compounding my growth exponentially. And then when I'm 60, I'm like, okay, well, I want to retire, or I can pull a chunk out of each of these.
It still drips.
And it still drips. And then give them my daughter. And then when I die, she has these. You know? It's pretty cool, man. Like,
spend your money.
Honestly. Yeah, I know. But I don't... Come on, man. Like, I don't know how much I need. I just want a nice house. And maybe, in, you know, like, continue my toy collection and travel a little bit. And
if you think about it, you're going to need, like, realistically to live a year. Let's say you have no mortgage. Your cars are paid for. You probably still need $50,000 a year to survive.
Well, by then, hopefully my house will be paid off and shit, too. But yeah, probably. Comfortably.
I mean, if you're going to travel, if you're going to go away.
When I retire, I'm still going to have enough money that I can just invest while I'm retired and make more money. You know, I can be like, okay, well, today I'm going to pull 5,000 and, oh, you know, I know the market a lot more and I know this is going to shoot up today. I'll put 5,000 on there, make 10,000, pull it out and be like, yeah, you know, and just,
okay. So Dez drips to 60 and starts gambling at 60, fucking crashes, loses it all.
Yeah.
And he's like, son of a bitch. God, Jay, you want to start another podcast?
Yeah.
Let's go. See, what we should be doing is taking, because we're at the point now where we've given every dollar we've made pretty much back into the podcast, and now we're actually starting to pull it out and use it for our own selves. I've told myself that the podcast money is for the drip, baby. Like, I'm just gonna fuck with it.
I want to use it for the podcast or for hobbies. So, like, I'm a toy collector. So, like, sometimes I'll see, like, you know, a deal on a toy, or I'm part of also Facebook groups where they do live auctions where they'll have, like, random toys that you can actually, it's pretty cool how with COVID things have evolved. So I've been picking up some shit, and, like, it's kind of my play money for my hobbies, and Talkamania is part of my hobby. Toys are part of my hobby. I don't want to start using it for investments. The big thing for me is paper trails. If all of a sudden it's like, hey, you made a lot of money on the stock market. Like, where did it all come from? And then they decide to audit me. That's my only thing, you know? If they decide to audit me, then it's like, oh, well, you know, you have some stuff coming in from PayPal. Where'd it come from? It's like, oh, we have a podcast. Oh, you've been making...
Yeah, but I think there's a way to move it from that wallet to another wallet, especially if you're not using things like Questrade, if you're using, like, coin wallets and stuff like that. You can just make transfers.
Maybe through certain apps and stuff, but, like... I'm just being a little bit weary, and also I kind of want it to be my little hobby, you know, incomes. Because, like, right now it's like I can't buy figures because I want to invest all my time, my money into the market. So at least I have that PayPal to play with a little bit. I could be taking it and throwing it into stocks, but, like, I just don't want to come back to bite me in the ass.
I did it this month.
I want to keep it in PayPal and pay with my PayPal wallet and online. That's safe. That's fine. Or, like, send money to people. That's fine. But I'm leaving it in there. So we'll see. I think the wallet. Yeah. I think the money you're playing with comes initially from our Talkamania account that has my name on it anyway. So that's going to come back. That could back to bite me too.
I don't think it works like that. But yeah, I pulled out like $600 And I was like, nah, I'm going to pull it out. I hate waiting, man. That's the biggest problem. Like, you get excited about something that you see in the stock market, and then you're like, oh, I got to wait 3 days to put more money.
Well, dude, that's kind of it. Like, I'm looking at the $3,000 I need for Enbridge, and I'm like, I put in $1,300. I have another $400 that I can play with on Questrade. I'm like, maybe I'll just throw it all on there. But I wanted to have a little bit, like, a buffer in Questrade.
Yeah, you want that cushion.
Yeah, that I can just put at places. If something drops and it's like, guys, invest in this, you know, I can jump on it. Now I'm trying to think, how do I get to that $3,000 quicker? I don't need to rush. I'll get there, you know, but at the same time, I want to get it now to start that going. Then I can move on to Manulife. And then I learned about RESPs, and I'm like, well, if I want to get the $500 grant each year for my daughter from Canada, I have to put in $2,500. And then you kind of also like start learning about RESPs as well, too. And they're super interesting because the way that it works is it's broken down in what you're contributing. So your $2,500 a year, the $500 a year that the government gives you, and then anything you make off investments. Anything you make off investments and the government gives you, you will get tax on when you pull it out in an RSP or you give it to your kids. Here's the loophole, okay? They're broken up in three little boxes. What you put into it, what the government gave you, and what you made off of it. So what the whole point is, when the kid goes to college or school for the first year, you have them spend what the government gave you and what you invested primarily. Because everybody in Canada gets $13,000 credit tax exemption. Well, if your kid's going to school for the first year, they're not making any money. So $13,000 will not be taxed. And you're probably not going to take out $13,000 right away. So there you go. You will avoid taxes.
Yeah. There's whiz around.
And then once you get through all that money, then you have the $50,000, which is tax-free. And funny thing is, that portion of what you put in, you could actually take it back yourself if you wanted to punish your kid.
My parents did that to me. I didn't go to school. They're like, yeah, you're fucked, son. But the good thing is like, you'll probably have more money than your kid needs to go to school, dude.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Because it doesn't cost much to go to school in Canada. It's like $3,500 a semester.
And there's loopholes. Like, you can use it on different things. You know, if she wants to become a wrestler, you know, maybe she could spend it on that.
I don't know. You might get penalized if you send her to clown school.
We'll see. But it's cool, man. Yeah. I've been learning so much. Like, I feel like I've just been putting so much info in my brain over the past week, and my head was spinning, trying to digest.
Leveling up, baby.
Rewatching videos twice, three times, doing my, like, I wanted to know, well, if I have money, I'm starting off with $2,000-$3,000, like, what's really the best thing to do? You know, like, do I put into this? Do I put into that? Like, where do I start? You know, and I honestly took about a week and a half to even make my first investments once I was set up. And last night I was just like, I'm going in on Enbridge. I'm doing it. I'm fucking doing it.
Yeah, I started watching that Canadian in a t-shirt guy. Yeah, I like him.
He is. He's a cool kid. He's super quest trade because he makes a profit off of them, or he makes...
I just like the way he explains stuff. It's very simple, and there's like little animations that he pops up, and it's well put together YouTube videos.
And he kind of tells you things like, dude, like, don't waste your time. You know, you could be doing this. Don't make this mistake. I made this mistake. And he'll explain kind of bad. When he busts out a spreadsheet when he goes into dividends in RSP one point, and he shows like how much you're making off a drip and how much you'll have. And you just see the just going up, skyrocketing. You're like, oh, fuck. And
do you get FOMO, though, when you're watching him? I always get FOMO whenever I talk
about him. Well, he started younger and like whatever. I mean, he's helping. At least he's helping us out. So that's a good thing, too. Yeah. It's crazy because he has a channel you can subscribe to where he'll go over like his profile, what he puts money into and stuff. I'm not going to do that because he gives out enough free information out. I want to build my own profile, but there's definitely a lot of good advice out there that he's been giving. So it's pretty cool. And like me, I want to make passive income. I want my money to make money while I'm sleeping. And again, isn't it great waking up, having a coffee and checking the market and just being like,
I feel like I'm an adult.
How is it going? Is it up? Is it down? You know? And I can tell when it's like, up and down.
I just like the way the graphs look.
Because when it's up, J-Bomb's like, yeah. And then when it's down, J-Bomb doesn't text me at all. And he's just like, he's like, oh.
But today was a good day.
Today was like a good day.
A couple of them went red, and the one that I have a lot of money invested in was green. And it went up like 20-something%.
So I think I made $80 today from what it's telling me, which is pretty cool. Like, I love Questrade. It's got such a fucking great platform. It tells everything so nicely. It's so beautiful. And it breaks down every account for you, too. And, like, it shows you how much you made every day. Like, it's really, really pretty. It's nice. And I like – it has an app, but, like, no one really uses it. It's kind of outdated. But, like, this is just, like – I like being behind a computer screen or a laptop and doing my shit. It's just nice. Something about it.
It's nice. It's nice when you have three screens and you're watching your market, and then you're watching the actual market moving, and you're reading on the left.
And also, it's like you see like a, you read news or you see something, an opportunity you missed, and you're like, oh, shit, I could have put money into this, like Bitfarm, right? I could sit back, and I could do nothing, and it could skyrocket, and I could have made a couple $100 or $1,000 off of it.
There'll be something
Be something else. That's something you always got to tell yourself, you know, like, oh, fuck, I missed this or I missed that. Like, dude, stock market's been around forever. There will always be stuff to invest in. You know, like, relax.
Just chill. Okay, I guess we're here for wrestling talk, right? We have a Elimination Chamber this Sunday.
We have the Elimination Chamber this Sunday. Maybe we can do our predictions to close off the show. But before we do, I've got a few things that we can talk about. I took some notes this week.
Oh, what do you got, Des?
So, I don't know if you probably didn't catch SmackDown. But we did have the return of Seth Rollins. So he's back.
I saw his bit.
See, my thing about this is they hyped it up as if it was going to be this big thing. His return. He'll explain where he was, why he left, and what's the future. And he essentially came back, and I was excited. And then he's returning to the exact same gimmick. There was no change. Yeah. Nothing. No pivot.
Very bad.
It's just like selfish, you know, holier than thou, righteous dude. And that's it. So I was kind of like, really? Like, you didn't? And part of me is like, they could do more with that whole Seth Rollins heel. Like, they could. I guess it kind of is working. They didn't give too much time for it. But I was like, a little bit like, oh, okay. Really?
He should have just came back as Burn It Down Seth at the Rumble. We talked about that. And then he could have just had this fresh start as a heel or a face. And you could have gotten another turn, you know, 2-3 months down the line from Seth, whether it be from one side to the other. And at least then their options could have been open because they could have just pulled an audible. But to have the, like, what the entire SmackDown roster surrounding the ring, and then you knew as soon as he started talking, the first time he kind of said something asshole, everybody starts walking away.
Yeah.
Like, it's been done. Like, Seth is good at it, but it's been done, man.
But it's kind of cool that you mentioned that because, yes, the guys around the ring started leaving, and it was almost, I guess, they felt like we did. Like, oh, Seth's back. What do you have to say? Oh, same old Seth. I'm out of here. You know, maybe that's what they were going for, you know?
Maybe
because they didn't give him a lot of time, right? Like he did WrestleMania. I think he had like a small injury, or no, he did the Rey Mysterio thing forever, which was fucking drawn on for so long. But here's the thing: how are you gonna have two big top heels on SmackDown? How are you gonna have Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns on SmackDown? How's that gonna work?
I just think that it was a perfect opportunity to have Seth versus Roman again to have him come back as a face, and then when Becky ever comes back, it's like, they're the extreme power couple of WWE. And then if Roman were to pull a woman under his wing, then there could have been so many good storylines set up.
It's just weird because right now we don't know where we're headed for WrestleMania for either the WWE or the Universal title. And I think they don't even know, you know, going into WrestleMania. They're going to kind of call an audible. We had the Elimination Chamber coming up. One thing that's kind of cool but kind of, you know, you're going to know what to expect is Roman Reigns was initially in this Elimination Chamber. He said, fuck it. I'm too good for this shit. I will face whoever wins this immediately. So him playing tough, but also kind of playing a heel, like he wants to cheat to win because the guy's going to be beaten up, beat down. So I guess the funny thing there is going to be that, you know, he kind of had that control, but dude, he's obviously going to beat whoever wins the Elimination Chamber. Like straight up.
Yeah. I think, you know what though? It is kind of cool that they're doing that. Like, I feel like it elevates this pay-per-view to being a lot more interesting than it could have been. I'm not going to get, like, all fucking really mad about it. It does suck that there's no women's elimination chamber.
Yeah, super, super terrible.
But we get to see Roman Reigns fight either Jey Uso, which would be great, Kevin Owens, which we already know is good. I don't want to see Corbin. And then Sami Cesaro and Daniel. So, I mean, there's a potential for a good fight at the end of this card.
I wish there was a crowd for this one because I feel like they would really get behind Cesaro in this one. And they can kind of like, you know, maybe they call an audible during the Elimination Chamber, or maybe he kind of get the Kofi treatment where, like, you know, they get behind him and they change plans. Seth Rollins did attack Cesaro, so I'm thinking maybe they're going to do a Seth Rollins-Cesaro feud, which is cool. Good for Cesaro. I think it's
great.
I'm
down for that, actually.
Yeah, it seems like they've been pushing him. I think he signed his new contract recently. So they let him cut this really passionate promo on Talking Smack or after Raw or whatever.
Is he a good guy now?
He turned back into a good guy. Like, it was like Shinsuke was going good. He was going bad. And then now it looks like he's kind of going good, respected, good, you know, kind of thing. So let's see what happens there. But yeah, I fully expect Roman to retain regardless of who he faces off against. And then in the other one, we have Drew McIntyre. He is defending his championship in the Elimination Chamber. We saw a gauntlet match this past week because Miz pulled himself out of the match for some odd reason. Only makes me scratch my head that he might cash in after all is said and done. But there was a gauntlet match to determine the order of who comes in last. And Sheamus comes in last. He gets the bro kick and actually pins the champion, right? I saw this a mile away, obviously, because they want to make Sheamus get that big pin over the champion going into Elimination Chamber, which means Sheamus is not going to win this Sunday. I think Drew McIntyre will probably retain, to be honest with you. But who knows, man? Maybe The Miz is going to cash in. I was thinking about this. Like, what's going to happen at WrestleMania? Like, we don't know what's going to happen with Edge, right? We don't know. You know, the more I think about it, like, maybe Edge is going to face off against Roman. He wants to. He's said this. He's been vocal about it. It's spear versus spear. And this way, and I know it's not like an amazing match at WrestleMania, but I'm trying to think, why would The Miz pull himself out of this? Like, why? It makes no sense to me. So I feel like somehow he's going to cash in, take the title off of Drew, and Drew's going to face him at WrestleMania for the championship. So it might be Drew versus The Miz at WrestleMania for the championship. Drew wins and then gets his big WrestleMania moment with the crowd, which he did not get last year.
Yeah, but beating The Miz at WrestleMania is not quite a WrestleMania moment.
I agree with you, but I'm just trying to think, like, why did he take himself out? Is it really going to be Edge versus Drew, face versus face? Like, that kind of doesn't really make sense to me right now. And the more I think about it, the more I see it potentially being Roman versus Edge. Because what else is it going to be? Who else is it going to be? Unless, again, Edge does face Drew or does win the championship at WrestleMania. And then at the end, Miz does cash in, win the championship at WrestleMania, get ultimate heat, and then Edge doesn't have to carry it, right? Like a full-time champion.
I still think it's setting itself up for a triple threat. I think we get a cash in an Elimination Chamber. I think it's The Miz. The Miz beats Drew. Edge wants The Miz. Drew gets pissed. Edge is honorable. It's a triple threat match. That way, we still have our storyline with Roman. The Miz is thrown into it. Money in the Bank is settled. And Edge and Drew McIntyre could be in a match together where it's not face versus face. And Edge doesn't have to take the pin, and Drew McIntyre walks out as champion. And it's a bit more credibility if he beats Edge and The Miz at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
so
we'll see. That's a good idea, too. Potentially be something that's going to happen. One thing about the Elimination Chamber I want to mention before we move on. There's a lot of stock and a lot of, you know, they always emphasize who's going to be the last person coming in. There's always some match, a tournament, and a gauntlet match to determine who will be the last entrant. And the WWE's been pretty big on gauntlet matches these days. They had one like a year ago. It was a smash hit. And ever since then, they've been pumping them out every few months. And they're always great. They're always really good. We had Shinsuke win not too long ago. And then we had Sheamus beat Drew McIntyre. But the whole match was great itself. The interesting thing about this is they put so much value and so much stock into the Elimination Chamber and who comes out last. But what about the gauntlet match? Like, it's really shitty to come out first. And you know usually who comes out first, unless they're going to do an Iron Man. It's not going to be them. It's not going to be the second person. You know, it always is shitty because Sheamus comes out last, wins it. Kofi comes out first or second, loses. Like, they don't put enough emphasis on who gets to come out first, the gauntlet, or explaining. You know.
Well, what are you going to do? You get a gauntlet who comes out
no,
first?
No, they could do
gauntlet,
some kind of like
who comes in first and that
pull
gauntlet.
The names out of a hat, or at least say you did. Like, names were picked at random. They don't even say that. It's just kind of like,
that's true.
I don't know. You know, it's just kind of so funny that they put so much emphasis on who comes out last in Elimination Chamber, but the emphasis should often be who comes out last in a gauntlet match, or at least the last person, because Sheamus comes out, he wins, cleans house. So, you know.
I'm not a fan of the gauntlet matches just because they are usually good, but then like the endings are usually pretty sour. And that's what leaves me kind of being like, meh. You kind of know what's going to happen. There's always some funny business at the end. Always fucking funny business.
I thought it was weird because The Miz wanted to take himself out and put John Morrison in. So Kofi wanted to go in. So it was The Miz versus Kofi to see who goes into the Elimination Chamber, Kofi or John Morrison. So Miz was wrestling on Morrison's behalf. And I'm like, why isn't Morrison wrestling on his own behalf? Have Miz on the outside of the ring. Just didn't make sense. I have to imagine Morrison couldn't make it or he wasn't there for the show because he wasn't there that night. But
maybe.
It was a bit weird. Interesting enough, maybe he was celebrating because his wife, Taya Valkyrie, signed with WWE. It's official.
Oh, really?
Yeah. TNA legend, knockout legend. She's headed to NXT. You know, I think she's going to do a great job potentially having the end of her career in the WWE and NXT and then helping out as a trainer or whatever it is. Dude, big name. I'm wondering if they let her keep her name because she was made in TNA. I think if anybody or the few people who are, she should be allowed to keep that name. She made it impact, and she's a legend an impact. And I think there's so few of those that you should give it to her and let her keep that name. But we'll see what happens.
AJ kept his.
I know, but you know what his story was? He has AJ Styles tattooed on his side. So he said, Vince, like, my name's right on my side. They're going to know. Because they actually initially said, we might want you to change your name.
If I'm an independent wrestler about to sign a contract with WWE, I'm hitting the tattoo parlor, man. Get your name tattooed on your fucking chest. You're good to go.
Then you won't wear a t-shirt for the rest of your career.
I would wear a t-shirt.
You see with Finn Balor, he gets tattoos and stuff. They make him like wear armbands and stuff now all the time. It's crazy.
Oh, well. It is what it is. Sorry. Dude, I'm fucking tired, man. I can't get over. You're drinking so much water tonight.
Just trying to stay healthy.
Look at you.
Just trying to stay healthy.
Water, glasses, stocks.
Yeah. I'll be drinking this weekend, though. It'll be nice. I got a toy auction tomorrow night.
Wow.
Yeah, a few other things, guys. Dude, okay, so we're talking about the Universal Championship, the Raw Championship. We have the Women's SmackDown Championship, the Women's Raw Championship. Asuka's been MIA in the title picture, or most of the title scene. We have Sasha Banks and Bianca. They seem like they're on a collision course for WrestleMania. I fucking hope so. Don't ruin this one. Have them face each other. It's going to be a fantastic match. So what's going to happen with Asuka? What's going to happen with Charlotte? What's going to happen with the Women's Championship? We know Lacey Evans is scheduled to take on Asuka at the Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second, guys. Curveball. This past week on Raw, there was a tag team match. Asuka and Charlotte versus Peyton Royce and Lacey. Lacey was egging Charlotte on, and then eventually, when she got tagged in, refused to go in the ring to face Charlotte. Well, she took the microphone and said, Charlotte, I'm not coming in. I'm not going to face you because, Charlotte, I'm pregnant.
With Ric Flair's baby?
So Ric Flair starts strutting and going, woo, yeah, woo, my boys can swim, yeah. So that's interesting. Charlotte looks like she's going to vomit. And she was actually, the match was ended and she was taken out of the match, all that stuff. So we don't know what's going to happen this Sunday with the Elimination Chamber. And the news is, like, Lacey is legit pregnant. Now, not...
Oh, no.
Yeah, not by Ric Flair. Not by Ric Flair.
No shit.
But she is apparently legit pregnant. So this means... WrestleMania plans are going to change. This could be the best thing to happen to Asuka because I had a plan that she was going to be losing that title. I had a thought she'd be losing the title at Elimination Chamber. You'd finally get the payoff of Lacey versus Charlotte or some kind
How dumb is Lacey? Oh, I know that's probably wrong.
Okay. It's funny you say that because I was talking to my wife and I was saying kind of like, look, I think it's fantastic, right? A new child, family, great. And if her family is important to her and like she loves that shit, then that's the right decision for her. But I feel like she was so primed. Like, Lacey is in a point right now where, like, this is her year to be champion. And I think her taking that time off is going to harm her more than help her in terms of her legacy, her career. I don't know how old she is. But regardless of that, when it comes down to it, guys, if Lacey's like, I love my family, I wanted kids, and this is more important to me, then awesome. She made the right decision. But I have to feel like, dude, she was being primed to be champion. She was on her path, like... bad timing for her. Good timing for Asuka. I don't know what this means now. We don't know who Asuka's going to be facing at the pay-per-view. So it's going to be a surprise. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Charlotte. They'll probably put Charlotte in there, have Asuka versus Charlotte. Maybe Charlotte will win it, you know, take that heel turn, and then Asuka will get it back WrestleMania. I'd be cool with that. But I don't know. So I'm very interested to see what happens this Sunday with the Elimination Chamber. And I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic for Asuka's chance of being at least in a more prominent match other than a battle royale at WrestleMania.
I mean, you're jumping ahead. You're assuming she's going to be in something better. For all we know, Charlotte might beat her and that's the end of that. And we go on to Charlotte versus somebody else at Mania. I mean, Becky's still in the picture.
No,
don't forget about
it.
Yeah, no, dude. Dude, she teased the shit out of it at Royal Rumble.
Yeah, because that's Becky. She's going to have fun. I mean, you know, I'm sure she was backstage or Seth sent her a picture of the curtain.
Dude, you don't think that WWE still has a hell of a grasp over what and what she cannot post on social media?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the big thing is, it's like, I don't think she should rush back. I think she should enjoy time being a mother, you know, like and raising a child.
Picture this. You're Vince McMahon, right? And one of your most beloved wrestlers, highest merch selling wrestler, is like teasing the fact that she might be coming back. And then she doesn't at WrestleMania. And all your fans are disappointed.
Or she comes back at the end of the match or something. But you know what? It's possible. You know, maybe she does beat Asuka for the championship, and then Becky challenges her at WrestleMania, and it's Charlotte versus Becky at WrestleMania. That would be huge.
Bro, even if she comes out after the WrestleMania match and there's people there, when that music hits, I mean, we're back, baby.
I think she's involved. I think she'll definitely be there at WrestleMania. There'll be some kind of involvement. They're going to want to use her to make people happy because it is the man. She is super popular. She is awesome. I think it could be a really good thing. So I think she'll be involved one way or the other. But, yeah, if she's ready to go, I mean, you know, it's not that long ago she was having a baby. But, you know, maybe she'll be good in time to go and we'll get that Charlotte versus Becky match at WrestleMania without Ronda Rousey involved. So.
If we get a Ronda Charlotte match and then Becky comes out at the end, I'd be pretty happy. But I doubt we're going to get any of it even close.
So. Yeah. It's going to be like Charlotte versus Peyton.
Exactly. It's going to be some trash like that.
What else we got here? Okay.
We have anything from AEW? We had Sting getting powerbombed. I saw that.
I did see him get powerbombed. It was a nice solid powerbomb. Nice flat in his back. Yeah. Nice flush.
Do you feel, was that his first bump in AEW?
I think one of his first big bumps. And people are so funny and fickle because they're like, I'm tired of him talking every week. And then they're like, why are you dropping a 6-year-old man on his back? It's like, oh my God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? When are you going to be happy?
Yeah, fuck people.
I don't know. I liked it. I thought the bump was very safe. He landed flat in his back. He had a jacket on. Like, it looked like he was good, man. He wouldn't have taken it if he didn't want to.
He's fine.
He is fine. So there you go. We are also part of the Dark Order officially, guys. We want to announce that in this episode. We sent application into the Dark Order well over maybe a year ago. Now we got a reply back and we are officially part of the Dark Order. I don't know what that means. I don't know if someone's going to show up at our door. But, you know, I'm open to all these experiences, man. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, they took a really long time to reply. That's...
Well, they were putting thought into it. They were considering us. They're not going to accept just anybody.
Hmm. I did see that Omega is going to be facing Moxley again. Now, I don't know how far they're going to go with this, but he seems like he challenged him to a electric barbed wire match.
I don't know, but I'm excited now. I read about that today, basically. At Revolution, Sunday, March 7th. We take it on Moxley, like you said, in some barbed wire style match. Exploding barbed wire death match. So, dude, you guys remember their street fight that they had a while back? That was fucking awesome. Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to this one. Yeah. But I imagine like his TNA cronies are going to help him retain, but I think it's still going to be a fucking great match.
Yeah. I'm just, you know what? I'm excited for it because AEW is going out there, man. If they're going to bring the deathmatch to, like, mainstream, I'm fucking in. Exploding barbed wire. I saw a GIF today about, like, two women in Japan who had one, and it looked insane.
Like a little fireworks go off.
Yeah. I'm fucking down, man. I've never seen one of those, like, in live time, in real time. So I'm fucking down, man.
Yeah. A little disappointed the women's tournament, every time they bring one up, we have a women's tournament or women's tag team classic or whatever it is. They just throw it on Dark. And, like, I watch some of these matches. Like, it's in, like, a little shack. There's no fans there. It's like, guys, really? You had a chance to... Okay. But still cool to see some of them come over at AEW, get a bit more exposure. But I want to see a little bit more of women's wrestling. It seems like it's harder and harder for them to get a piece of the pie every week. Yeah. I guess that's about it on AEW. I didn't watch too much of it this week, to be honest with you. I was watching a lot of NXT. One thing that I really liked... with Karrion Kross now, is they cut a promo. And I'm not a big Kross fan, but I like the fact that Scarlett Bordeaux did her promo, and then Kross basically did a promo too. So they're kind of like a duo, and they both talk. And I like that it kind of goes away from the whole, like, Scarlett doing all the talking. I like the fact that she can do talking, but at the same time, like, Kross can also do talking. So now they're kind of like... They both bring something more to the table now, I felt. And I kind of like that. You see more of Kross. He's not just hiding behind her. He's more believable. I liked it. So that was one note that I wrote down. I thought it was pretty cool. Make it 50-50 and make it a partnership.
I still don't like Karrion Kross, though.
Bordeaux's nice.
I still... Of course. I think she's going to come out the bigger star out of the two of them. I'm probably wrong, but you got to stick to it.
We're going to get Dakota Kai versus Nia Jax and Shayna in 2 weeks. So,
oh, no way.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez ended up winning the Dusty Classic. Well-deserved. I think it was the right team to go with. This is going to be a fucking awesome match. They did a showdown kind of on NXT this past week, making more of the Nia Jax hold jokes. Maybe I think it's getting a bit old, but still fun. But yeah, this is going to be a really cool match to check out. I'm excited. I don't know if it'll be in NXT. I think it will be. I think it will be on NXT because I said 2 weeks. So yes, I think it will be. But that's pretty fucking cool, man. I like NXT. I like Xia Li. Her fucking kicks are badass. I like this Cameron Grimes gimmick. Did you see it? He bought GameStop stocks and he's all rich now. You
didn't see that? Yes? Is that what they did?
Oh, watch
no.
It, yes.
Dude, so, this guy's money.
Dude, he ended up making a video of him like at a pool with money, and it's super cheesy but super fucking funny. And it's like this rap song or this kind of like beat, and it's like to the moon, it's
no way, man. No yeah. way. Yeah. I'm pissed I missed it.
And he actually bought an expensive car, and then like he crashed it. So he's like outside his car being like, look at my car, but the front of it's all dented in.
So he's evolving then. His character is already evolving.
I thought it was great. The fact that it was like, and you know what? It was such a, if you follow stocks, okay, people who own a stock, they think it's going to skyrocket. What they say is to the moon. They'll put a little rock ship and they'll be like, Dogecoin to the moon, folks, to the moon, you know, CCIV to the moon. So what? Well, dude, it was made in heaven. GameStop, the stock going up to the moon. He says to the moon. Hilarious, and I love it.
It's perfect.
I think it's great.
It's perfect.
It's been great.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's poetic. Nice. I got to tune in for that shit.
And then lastly, we have the Undisputed Era. If you guys watch NXT TakeOver, first of all...
Oh, yeah.
Fucking awesome pay-per-view yet again. Always great with these pay-per-views.
Really good, yeah.
Pete Dunne, Finn Balor, tore the house down. And then you have Adam Cole coming out, super kicking Finn Balor, and then super kicking O'Reilly. You know, kind of weird because Cole's kind of been supportive of O'Reilly, been supportive of, you know, as a face. But I guess he's tired of not being champion. I guess that's the angle they're going to go towards. He wants that belt. He wants a shot at Balor. Cool. No problem. He could have asked for it, but I think this is sending a big message. But then he breaks up the Undisputed Era, which is pretty heartbreaking. Bobby Fish is MIA. He's nowhere to be seen. I don't know if he's injured or he's out for a while or what it is. Seems like he's slowly being phased out. It was so close in that moment where Balor got super kicked, where you thought he was going to join the Undisputed Era. And you were like, oh my God,
oh, yeah.
Finally
he's going to join it.
Which made it amazing. People are comparing it to like another barbershop because it kind of not too far off of it. He kind of looked like Michaels, had the hair down, like not too bad. He is super tiny though, I'm going to say. Like,
bro, well, so is Michaels. But
Adam Cole's so small. And if he goes to the main roster,
nothing will compare. You can't. Nothing will compare to the barbershop.
No, for sure.
Nothing.
So this past week, there was a tag team match. So it seems like Adam Cole, O'Reilly are kind of, you know, going to have some kind of feud going on. He dropped O'Reilly with a brainbuster on the stairs. I remember watching it and being like, ooh, that looked pretty nasty. And he sold it like a motherfucker on the outside. He was just like not even moving. And I'm just like, that guy sells so well. And he always sells really well. I didn't think much more of it than that. And then social media is buzzing afterwards because Renee Young's and other people are like, I hope he's okay. Fans there are saying like he had a seizure and they had to put him on a stretcher. But like, I always thought it was a work. I was like, I watched the video over and over.
I thought it was a work.
I watched the video over and over and he never hit his head on the stairs. The only thing maybe was like a neck jolt or something. So I'm like, shit, this is for real. This is like, it's a bit of an awkward landing. That's unfortunate. But I was convinced it was a work. And as people were getting concerned, the whole thing about the seizures came into play. And he's diabetic. So diabetic people are prone to having seizures. So all of a sudden people started shitting on the WWE saying, why do you put somebody who's diabetic through that? He's having seizures, you know, and you're letting that happen on TV. And it becomes this whole entire snowball thing where it's like, I don't get why they're hanging on to this whole, the whole story was like, he's diabetic. And I just never thought he was injured. And you know, here's the thing. Remember Devon Dudley? He would take moves and just spaz there. He would like shake in the ring and spaz. And I think that's all that Kyle O'Reilly was doing. And then they've always put people on stretchers during big injury angles. So, like, I think it got blown out of proportion. I think the right people were tweeting stuff, like Renee Young or other people that were watching saying, I hope he's okay. It did look nasty, but I didn't think twice about it. And then he came out today kind of having to say a press release of, not press release, but statement like, no, I'm okay, guys, you know? I just thought it was funny.
The woke police were out hard, eh? Jesus.
I just also thought it was so funny how people jumped over the WWE and attacked them. Like, why would you do this to somebody who's diabetic? What?
It's over, man. I'm so over. I hate people. I fucking hate people that hate people for hating people. It's so fucking stupid, man. So stupid.
It is.
I'm watching the break. That might have came through.
It's all good.
Yeah. Oh, he fucked him up. Pretty good.
Yeah, definitely a nice little drop. But, like, you know, looked like he landed flush. It was pretty safe. But, you know, I guess you always got to be careful and careful what you read on the internet. But at the same time, it's good news to hear that he's all right. I guess that's the main thing.
That was super clean, man.
That's it. I thought it was pretty flush and clean. But maybe it was some weird angle or something. But people thought maybe his blood sugar was high or something, so he had a seizure.
Oh my God.
Why are you having him wrestle when he has diabetes? And I mean, you have hockey players. Hockey players and athletes who play with diabetes. It's not like you're going to stop living your life. There's ways of controlling it.
So. Bro, speculation is reality, according to people on the internet. So, fuck them.
It's hard, man. You know, everybody gets on upset about everything. I don't even really engage. I read and get news and say quite a bit off social media these days. It just, you know.
Idiots. Just pure idiots. I don't even want to talk about it. Fuck them.
All right,
idiots.
Guys. Let's jump to one more segment to wrap up our show. We got the Elimination Chamber coming up. Do you have the prediction audio queued up, or can you get that queued up for us?
I do. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Des and J-Bob's predictions.
All right. Where do you want to start?
All right, guys. So we have the Elimination Chamber coming up this Sunday, the 21st of February. It's the last pay-per-view I have before I have to go back to work. Elimination Chamber. We're on the road to WrestleMania. Let me just double check something here. I want to check something. WWE pay-per-views.
I see 5 matches.
Yeah, there's not too many matches on the card.
2 of them we can't even predict because we don't know who Asuka's
facing.
Well,
we could talk a little bit about it. How about that? Let me see something. I want to see, is this the last pay-per-view?
Before Mania. I don't think
it is. We have Fastlane March 21st. That's what I thought. Okay, so we do have one more. I remember on an earlier podcast, I had said Fastlane was the next pay-per-view because usually it is the one between WrestleMania, forgetting Elimination Chamber was in there. So that's why I thought. So we have time for another pay-per-view. So that's giving me a little bit of info going into this in terms of timelines. All right. Like you said, J-Bomb, we got 5 matches. Titles on the line are the WWE Championship, the Raw Women's, the Universal, and the United States. So a lot of titles on the line. Pretty cool. You know, maybe they'll throw the tag team titles on the pre-card or some shit. But right now, we got 5 matches. We'll go through them. Let's kick it off. Bobby Lashley with MVP versus Keith Lee versus Matt Riddle. So
it's probably going to be a pretty good match, actually.
I think it will be. And I like this story. I like that it's been taking time. People are complaining that Bobby Lashley is still facing off with Riddle. But this is kind of a long story. And Riddle's been funny, man. A lot of people hate him. They hate him because of the infidelity that he did and all that stuff, which is another story. It's not great. But he's been doing his job good. He's entertaining. He's funny. He's a bit of a stoner, I guess you could say, in terms of his gimmick. But, you know, it's been all right for me. I don't mind it. And he's good in the ring. Here we got Bobby Lashley. Guy's a beast. Been a great United States champion. Legitimate force. People are wondering why he's not in the WWE picture. Maybe after this he will go on to it. But he is the man that holds the title for a reason. I love the work Bobby Lashley is doing. He's fucking phenomenal. And then we got Keith Lee. Keith Lee's picking up momentum. They're trying to find him. A place for him in all this. He beat Riddle a couple weeks ago to earn his spot in the U.S. title picture, but he wasn't on Raw this week. People don't know why. Apparently, it's an injury he's nursing, and they said his spot in the Elimination Chamber match is in question. They're not sure. So behind the scenes thing is that they're saying that McMahon kind of like feels he's not taking off, like that spark's not igniting. He kind of like sees a lot in Keith Lee, but doesn't, they want to get him to where he needs to be, but they don't know if he's there yet. I say put him in the match regardless, and I think they're going to put him in this match regardless. I think they need to put him in this match regardless. He needs to get main roster experience. He's going to do fine. I think these three in the ring together are going to be fucking awesome. So Bobby's had the title for quite some time. Is now the time to take it off of him? I personally feel no. I think Lashley should hold on to the title until WrestleMania. He's had such a good run with it, and make it a big WrestleMania moment when he finally drops it. But they also might finally give Riddle his championship run because he's getting his ass kicked every week. I don't know. Or Keith Lee. I'm not exactly sure.
I could see it being like, if that's the truth with Keith Lee, I mean, he missed Rumble, right, because of the COVID stuff. And he was kind of a favorite to win the Rumble, actually, according to the betting sites. I could see Keith Lee or the decision being, all right, we're not sure about Lee. We know Lashley's money. We know Riddle's possibly money if everybody could get over his past. Let's strap that title on Keith Lee. See what he can do between now and WrestleMania and see where we can take this. I mean, Bobby's had it for a while, like you mentioned. So, I mean, I'm going to pick Keith Lee on this one.
I also don't think it's like he's had it for a while, so let's take it off of him. Like, I get that. But with Bobby, it's like you're keeping it on him because he's a fucking good champion. I'm going to go Bobby Lashley retaining. And I hope he retains, and I think that's the right direction to go in. I think he should lose his title at WrestleMania. And I think this should go on. Him, Keith Lee, Riddle, until WrestleMania. I know that's 2 more months or 1.5 months away or whatever it is. It's a long time. Or at least maybe Bobby, Keith Lee, and Keith Lee wins at WrestleMania. But I think this needs to be a WrestleMania moment. They've made that belt mean a lot. Let's make it mean even more by having this be a marquee match at WrestleMania where he finally drops the title.
I'm down.
So
I'm down.
I'm going with a Bobby Lashley retention.
All right. Oh, well, we're off to a good start.
You also have Riddle in there to take like the loss, so Keith Lee doesn't look bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Riddle only winning.
Yeah.
That we could agree on.
All right. So Mr. Lashley, we're both, you said he's in retain as well?
Nope, going with Keith Lee.
Okay, Keith Lee. Cool. What else we got? We have the Elimination Chamber matches. I guess we can just say who do we think is going to win each Elimination Chamber. So on SmackDown, we know it's going to be Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, King Corbin, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Daniel Bryan's in the Elimination Chamber match. So I guess it comes down to who do you feel is going to win this Elimination Chamber match and go to face Roman Reigns later that night? Or not later that night, I guess, maybe immediately after.
Yeah, it depends where they throw it in. I'll start off with this. Corbin and Sami Zayn are the first two out, leaving Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and Daniel Bryan as the final four. I think at that point, we'll see Cesaro drop or we'll see Daniel drop. Either way, I think it's going to come down to Uso, Owens. Oh, that's a tough one. I think it's going to be Uso, Owens, and Cesaro. It's tough because like if they are giving Cesaro that push, they might call that audible for who goes out third.
I would love to see Cesaro win this and then see, like, you know.
It ain't happening.
Because we know Roman's going to win no matter what. So if he's actually going to win against Cesaro, like, and then Cesaro puts up a fight after putting on an awesome Elimination Chamber match, that's a win in my books. I like that. But you could also do Jey Uso, which kind of just, like, hangs around there, does some shit, finds a way to win, and then goes against Roman Reigns. We like that one-on-one. We don't know what's happening with Roman at WrestleMania. Maybe they do Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I don't know. But also Kevin Owens. It seems like they're never done with this program. So maybe they're going to have Kevin Owens get another shot against Roman Reigns, but then lose again because he's already, you know, beaten down. These guys have had great matchups. It's been awesome to watch. So maybe they're going to give us another treat. Part of me also feels like Daniel Bryan for some reason. I think they're going to give us Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns, a little snippet or a little like short kind of feud like in this night, a great match between the two of them. I don't know. Like, I feel Daniel Bryan also could be somebody who could face off against him.
Top three, too. Cesaro is like a pipe dream because I'd love to see him in there. But I think it does come down to Bryan, Owens, and Uso. We've already got that history of Uso and Owens. So I got to pick one of those two. And I got to think it's Kevin Owens just because this will be that final. Like, he'll be beaten down. Roman will beat the shit out of him again. And then he could finally be like, hey, Kevin, like, it's over. Like, it's over.
I thought he's done that a few times already.
I know, but he's in a match again.
I don't know if you saw his social media, but somebody was saying something about, like, oh, yeah, Roman just makes the rules, taking himself out of his Elimination Chamber match and faces whoever wins. And then Kevin said something. I think it was something like that. I don't know what rule he had broken, but Roman Reigns made his own rules. And then Kevin Owens like, yeah, tell me about it. Like, I had him down to the count of six, and they just stopped counting. You know, like, which is true. You know, it's just like, if you watch the Last Man Standing match, Kevin technically should have won it.
He won.
Yeah.
He's our champion.
They literally just stopped counting at six because they couldn't get the handcuffs off. Like, what the fuck, you know? Like,
stupid, yeah.
I know, that was cringy. I think
I'm going to pick Kevin, though.
I think Jey Uso's going to take out Kevin Owens or something. He's going to pull some wrench in. They're going to make Jey Uso look good by taking Kevin Owens out of the picture somehow. I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan. I think this is a perfect opportunity to get a Daniel Bryan-Roman Reigns match. Not needing to continue it after the pay-per-view necessarily, and you get a cool matchup between Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns gets to beat somebody else down afterwards. I think it
more
could be fun.
Yeah, that's not a bad move.
I want Cesaro to win, but I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so then could we just agree that Roman Reigns beats whoever
yes,
he faces?
Yes, yeah, 100%. Okay. He's 100% going to beat whoever. Yeah, for sure. He's going to WrestleMania with that title. And, you know, honestly, he'll probably keep that title WrestleMania.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. He didn't lose that title forever, man.
Maybe next year against The Rock or something like that. You know,
maybe.
Like,
maybe.
All right. We also got a singles match for the Raw Women's Championship. We got Asuka versus question mark because we don't know. You know, is Lacey's pregnancy a work? It doesn't seem like it. Everyone congratulated her. The news is she is legit pregnant. Maybe this is a big work and they're pulling the wool over our eyes and they're really trying hard to keep things under wrap. And it will be Lacey Evans. I really thought, look, I would say that Lacey Evans probably would have won the title. Ric Flair would have pulled some shit. Maybe Charlotte would have came out, caused some distraction. Lacey would have walked away with the title. That would have been my prediction.
Yeah, mine too.
Now with Asuka facing a question mark, I'm probably going to still go on a limb and say Asuka will probably lose a title. I think she's losing.
No way.
Yes. Because who's that question mark going to be? It's going to be either like a surprise, somebody coming in, like maybe Ty Valkyrie. I don't think so.
Well, what could it be? Rhea Ripley?
God, that'd be a fucking amazing match. Dude, imagine that. They're like, Lacey, you're out. You ruined the match at Elimination Chamber. What can we do to make up for it? Dude, Ripley. And they could just do it like, hey, we need somebody. We need a challenger. She steps up, and they have a fucking awesome match. And then if Asuka
is
ended
Ripley
up...
Is Ripley on Raw?
She's not decided yet. They haven't determined where she's gone yet. So I'd be totally down with Ripley. I don't think she'd win it if it was Ripley. I don't think she should win it yet if it was Ripley. I think it would also be a good way to re-legitimize Asuka because she hasn't been very... Dude, her tag team matches with Charlotte, she's always getting her butt kicked and, like, Charlotte's looking strong and, like, it's... People who are like, is Asuka even champion? I can't defend it. Like, it is... She is not... She is not... It's not good. All right?
It's not good.
It's not good. So, I'm going to say Asuka loses against whoever she goes up against, and I think it's going to be Charlotte. Charlotte doesn't have a match. They'll have her win the title. They'll carry on to WrestleMania. Maybe she'll win the championship, and then she'll face off against Ripley at WrestleMania. And then she'll give back to Ripley at WrestleMania.
Maybe. I bet you they don't even have the match at all.
No, they will. They would have canceled it already. They would have canceled it already.
All right, so I'm going to say Asuka versus Charlotte, but Asuka retains.
What? How would she beat Charlotte clean?
It doesn't have to be clean.
Well, Lacey's out of the picture, I think, and Rick for now.
Rick could still fuck on Charlotte.
Maybe.
They could still push the story.
Okay. Well, I don't think so. I think Asuka's going to end up losing on Sunday. Sad. But, you know.
Sucker.
Is what it is. Okay, guys. Let's move on to, I don't know what the main event will be, but this is the main event of our predictions.
Yep.
The WWE Championship. You got Drew McIntyre. Man looks like a WWE champion. Loving Drew. Versus AJ Styles. He's been a treat as well, too, every week. Jeff Hardy, who I don't know how he gets into this match. I know he's a former WWE champion. But the guy has like a 0-12 record over the past year. Like, it's just abysmal. But, you know, he'll go in there, he'll get his ass beat. He'll do the usual spots. Jeff Hardy, I don't know, man. I want to like him, but he just gets his ass kicked all the time. Randy Orton, who's had a fucking great year, but all this weird stuff with the Fiend starting to happen. It looks like Alexa Bliss is going to summon him, resurrect his soul. So I have to imagine the WrestleMania match is going to be Randy Orton versus The Fiend, and he's going to play something into this. Randy Orton will be involved, the lights will go out, The Fiend will appear, and then beat him up. Lights will go out, somebody will pin him or some shit like that, and then Randy Orton's eliminated. That's the funny business I see there. Sheamus, come on, guy, you're not winning this match. Like, they were very nice to let him get a pin over Drew, and I'm sure Drew was like, he's my friend, let him get a pin over me. Yes, Sheamus, you'll pin the champion, but he's not winning this match. And then Kofi Kingston, love the fact that he's in this match now. Stupid that he had to find a way in there. He should have taken Jeff Hardy's spot to begin with. But great, he's in there. But I don't think so. I don't think they're going to do Kofi Kingston again. So to me, I think Drew McIntyre's retaining.
Me, I agree. Yeah, that's easy.
But the question is, does the Miz then cash in?
I mean, the cash in's going to go WrestleMania. The pay per view after WrestleMania is Money in the Bank, right?
Fastlane. After WrestleMania, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's usually Money in the Bank. It's time, man. Like that storyline's got to get moving. So whether it's a failed cash in or a straight cash in, I think the cash in's happening at Elimination Chamber.
You could actually have, let's say it comes down to Randy Orton and Drew, which it probably will. I think those will be my final two. Then the Fiend comes out, lights go out, Fiend comes back in and takes out both of them, right?
Yeah.
Then you have Miz come out and pin them, or like maybe he puts Drew on top of Randy. He beats Randy. He wins, and then while he's lying there beaten by the Fiend, the Miz comes out or something like that. Like some shit's gonna happen. I think Miz is gonna catch. Why did he pull himself out of this match? That is the big question. It makes no sense to me why he would pull himself out of the match. So he got to be planning something.
The cash-in's got to happen, man. I mean, this is like, I've been a pretty shitty year for Money in the Bank, so
the only way I would say to cash in that would bring the most impact would be having Edge win the championship at WrestleMania, then having the Miz come out and steal it off of him. People will be so fucking angry at the Miz, and then he can skyrocket into that heel that used to be where like everybody fucking hated him. And it's funny because usually somebody with the Money in the Bank, or like Miz when he had it, lose. You never take him seriously. Then he cashes in, wins, and then he finds ways to win, and he gets his win record up by being a fucker.
Or find ways to avoid wrestling.
Right. And I find the Miz is good for that. I liked him when he had his longer, more sinister hair going on. He's a bit of a doofus with the short hair. He's a bit of a doofus in general. But I'm okay with it. I think, Miz is all right. He does a good job on the mic. He's somebody you love to hate. You want to punch him in the face. And I think it'd be a good way to take advantage of cashing in that briefcase at WrestleMania.
I just want to see it cashed in, man. But, if it doesn't, Drew Mack walks out of there as your champion. I think that one's pretty easy to see. It's just a question of, is there a cash in or not? But either way, I don't know. I need something from this pay-per-view. This is like the last big pay-per-view before Mania. Fastlane is a crapshoot. It's garbage. Nobody cares about it. But I will predict Drew McIntyre winning, and I will predict the Miz cashing in and being successful.
There you go. We're on the page on a lot of things for this Elimination Chamber, so that's a lot of fun. But yes, guys, it'll be this Sunday, Elimination Chamber. There you have it. That's Talking Mania's predictions. It's been a fun one, man. Been a long one, and it's been easy, man. Like we had notes, but like, dude, like, we had so much content. We talked about our lives. We talked about stocks. We talked about, wrestling a little bit. So,
a little bit. Oh, we got it in. We got like a good 45 minutes of wrestling, which is what we're here for, right? I mean,
hells yeah, guys. Hells yeah. I hope you enjoyed the show, guys. Make sure to follow us on Twitter @_Talkamania, Talkamania TV on Twitch, and everywhere you get your podcasts and kicks, listen to us. 5-star, subscribe. It goes a long way. Be a Talkamaniac.
Keep an eye out for Trivamania 11. Where Chris Cass is going to defend. We have a How I Met Your Mother Trivia Mania coming up. Post-show Sunday night, if we're up for
it. We'll see how it's going, man. See how it's going.
Yeah. So, guys, enjoy your weekend. It is a WWE pay-per-view weekend, so those are always fun. Have a great week. We'll be back next Thursday. On behalf of Talkamania, J-Bomb's out. Dez, say bye.
Have a happy Rusev Day.